So we are going to talk a little bit about this week's parsha, Parshat Vayakel. What Rabbeinu has to say, give us some interesting thoughts. We can talk about Shabbos table. Tov, so the Parshat Vayakel deals with the building of the Mishkan.
Was it Likutei Halachot?
Likutei Halachot, on the Parshat. So the parasha talks about the building of the Mishkan. But before we get into the building of the Mishkan, the parasha starts, the first few verses of the parasha are a warning to remember the Shabbat. Sheishit yamim ta'asem malacha u'b'yom ha'shvi'i yelachem kodesh Shabbat Shabbaton. Before mentioning about building the Mishkan, the first thing the Torah does is tell us about keeping Shabbos. What's the connection? So Rashi on the page over here tells us the connection. Rashi says that whenever the Torah tells us about building the Mishkan, it always starts by warning us about Shabbat. Why? In order to teach us a law, which is that building the Mishkan doesn't take preference over Shabbos. Meaning you have to stop building the Mishkan on Shabbos. Right, that's what it comes to teach you. The fact that we need to have those two things together in the Torah comes to teach you, don't build the Mishkan on Shabbos. Very nice, very simple. Rabbeinu asks the final question, says, that's nice, it's very nice, but there's a problem. Why would you have ever thought that building the Mishkan would take precedence over Shabbos? No malacha takes precedence over Shabbos, unless it's a fixed one like the sacrifices and a few things. But otherwise, there's no reason, no havamina, that you would have thought that building the Mishkan should take precedence over Shabbos, that you could carry on building the Mishkan on Shabbos. So the Torah doesn't need to come and tell you it. You would have known that anyway. It's not something that you would have made a mistake on. Rabbeinu answers, he says, I'll tell you why you would have made a mistake. Because building the Mishkan is so great and so important. Why? Because building a Mishkan is what brings Hashem's divine presence into the world. You know that Hashem, his presence in the world was brought in by the Mishkan. Later the Beit HaMikdash, but originally in the Mishkan. So what's so special about bringing Hashem's presence into the world? So bringing Hashem's presence into the world, he says, is an aspect of bringing the Geula. Building the Mishkan is really bringing the Geula. So he said, that's why we would have thought. That's why you would have thought that it's so important that it even overtakes Shabbos. And therefore, the Torah has to come to tell us that building the Mishkan doesn't take precedence over Shabbos. Just a small point to start with. So I'm going to read a short part here from Likutei Halachot. Interesting subject over here. So we just read that the parasha starts with telling us about Shabbos. Sheishit yamim ta'asem malacha v'yom ha'shvi'i yelachem kodesh Shabbat Shabbaton. Right? 6 days you should do your work, and on the seventh day it should be Shabbos. Rabbeinu writes as follows. Rabbi Natan writes, Likutei Halachot. Hasadik ha'emet hu b'chinat Shabbat. The sadik, the true sadik, is an aspect of Shabbos. The true sadik is an aspect of Shabbos. How do I know this? He brings, like we see, that the friends of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Rashbi Kadosh, said about him, and true Shabbat. They said in the Gemara, it's recorded, that they said to Rabbi Shimon, and to Shabbat, your Shabbos. They called him Shabbos. So we see from here that the Sadik is an aspect of Shabbos. We're going to see where we're going to go with this. Top. Now, that's the first piece in our puzzle, that the Sadik is Shabbos. The second piece of the puzzle is a Gemara in, I believe that it was in Masechet Shabbat. It deals with Shabbat, I think it's in Shabbos. If anyone knows, otherwise they'll tell me, but I think it's in Masechet Shabbat. It says over there like this. Question, what happens if you're walking in the desert and you forget what day it is. You don't know what day it is. When do you keep Shabbos?
You count 7 days.
You count 7 days.
And 7 days Shabbos.
Yofi, very good. You learnt your Masechet Shabbat very well. You count 7 days. There's actually two opinions over there. One says that you keep that the next day is Shabbos and count another six. But that's not the main opinion. The main opinion is that you count 6 days, and then on the seventh day you keep it as Shabbos. So that's the answer it's given. But it's not so simple. Why? Because the truth is, you don't know when Shabbat is. Could be any one of those days. So what does the Gemara tell you over there? So the Gemara over there tells you what a person needs to do. So remember this, shouldn't happen to any of us, but right, is that it could be Shabbos every day. So you're actually not allowed to do any malacha on any of the days of the week. But just on the seventh, you're going to keep a Shabbos, meaning you're allowed to do only malacha that you're going to need for pikuach nefesh. So if you need to cook food or whatever, find water, so fine, you can do that. But anything that's not pikuach nefesh, you're not allowed to do, right? Because it could be Shabbos, safek Shabbos, deraita, you can't break Shabbos. So you're not keeping every day Shabbos. You're only allowed to keep one Shabbos a week. So you keep one day Shabbos, but every single day you don't do a malacha. So now your brain is asking the next question that the Gemara says. If so, so what's the difference? How are you going to know that one was Shabbos? Every single day you're doing the same thing. Every single day you're not doing any malacha. How do you know that the seventh one is going to be Shabbos? What, because you said it was Shabbos? That made it Shabbos? No. So what's the difference? And the Gemara answers over there. The difference between them is Kiddush and Havdalah. On the seventh day that you make a Shabbos, you're going to make Kiddush and Havdalah at the beginning and the end. So you're going to sanctify the day through the positive, right? That's how it's going to be different. That's how you're going to know that day is Shabbos. But otherwise, it's going to be the same. You're not going to do any malacha. Okay, so they're the two building blocks. Where are we going to go with this? Kemochen, like this, gam le'inyan hitkarvut el hatzadik. So too, the idea of getting close to the tzaddik. There is a big inyan, important inyan in Breslov. And if you ask a Breslover, it's an important inyan in Judaism. It's not just a Breslov idea, it's in order to be a kosher holy Jew. The person needs to get close to the tzaddikim, and in particular to the true tzaddik. The true tzaddik in every generation. Our job is to find him. Moshe Rabbeinu is in every generation. Moshiach is in every generation. There is a tzaddik hador, a tzaddik in every generation. Our job is to find him. Hashem didn't leave us rudderless, without any clue where to go and how to do it. He doesn't want us to be without teachers and leaders. It's very damaging to try and learn Torah without a teacher. It's some mother. We need our teachers. The teachers, particularly as the generations change, how we serve Hashem, how we deal with the modern realities. But we also know that not every person with the title rabbi is someone that we should put our 100% faith and trust in and follow him. Because it's as easy these days to get a certificate with the name rabbi on as it is to get the certificate with the name doctor, dentist, lawyer, which is much easier actually, it takes a lot less time. Right? And we wouldn't trust many then. So just because someone's got a piece of paper with their name on it and a little stamp, doesn't mean I should trust them, and the same true with rabbis. Right? And Rabbeinu tells us specifically in several places in his writings that in the final generations, one place he says rabbis will, not all of them, but he said there will be rabbis who will have money dripping out of their pockets. Right? So we have to be careful. But that doesn't mean that just because we know that there are people who are not worthy of the title, that we should just ignore them all and go our own way. Oh, I'll do what I think. I'm pretty smart, I know how to read a book, I've got monies down the road, I can get whatever book I want, I'll learn it myself and work it out myself. No, it's not the way. It's very dangerous to do that. We need to follow the true tzaddik so we don't go into wrong places. It's very easy to come off the path, even by a little bit. When a person moves a little bit off the path, the more they carry down that road, the further away they're actually coming in real terms. It starts off with a little diversion, and who knows where you're going to end up, right? Once you're off and you're going not on the straight path, and the person doesn't even realize how crooked they can, where they can end up. So we need to know what the true path is, and we need to have leaders and rabbis, tzaddikim, that we can follow to know where it is we're meant to be going, what path we're meant to be walking, what advice we should be following. There's a very big inyan in Breslov that we need to find the true tzaddikim. Now, so too with this idea that we're talking about. Okay, now, after the shenit bavel ha'olam ma'od, now the fact that the world is very messed up, in case you haven't noticed. Ha'idei ha'tekog ha'kategoria shebein ha'tamidei ha'chachmim. Right? Why is it messed up? Because there's a lot of infighting between the tamidei ha'chachmim. That's what causes all the bilbulim in the world. Everything happens in the world only because of Jews. And the higher up the tree, so to speak, spiritually, halachically, the more influence a person has on the world without realizing it. The fact that Talmidei Chachamim fight between one another is what causes all the confusion in the world. Because that's the true da'at. The true da'at, the true knowledge in the world, the true knowledge and wisdom comes from Torah. If the source of that knowledge and wisdom is in confusion because there's arguments between, not arguments in the Shem Shemayim, but arguments stand between the Talmidei Chachamim, meaning this one's fighting on that one, we don't like them, they don't like us, we don't speak to them, we don't agree with their shita, they're talking nonsense, that's absolutely asur, I can't believe they're doing it, I would never do that, b'chule b'chule. That causes that the true wisdom gets confused. Person doesn't know the right path. Why? Because we see that this one's fighting against that one, and that one's saying that's not true. This one's saying that's not true. So there's no, I can't find the truth in the world, it's all messed up. That messing up is messing up in the core, in the core of truth and the core of wisdom. It filters down to the world being in a very confused space. But we don't know who to follow. Particularly here, he's bringing it in terms of who are the true tzaddikim. We don't know who the true tzaddikim are because their followers, apparent followers, are fighting one another, arguing with one another. And so we can't find out who the true tzaddikim. If they weren't fighting, then it would be very clear. Be very clear who the true tzaddikim were. Right? Ad she'ein echad yodeh ha'emet la'amito mihu ha'tzaddik ha'amiti. Until it comes to the point where a person doesn't know the emet la'amito and the true truth. He might think he knows who's a good tzaddik, who should be. He doesn't really know who is really the true tzaddik, that sheyuchal lataken oto b'shlemut, that can fix him completely. We should know that there are tzaddikim, and there is a true tzaddik in every generation that can fix us. That's his job. The job of the tzaddik is to taken the neshamot of Am Yisrael, to fix the neshamot. If we had total conviction, we would bind ourselves to that tzaddik so that we could be fixed. But because we're not sure, so the more unsure we are, so the less we bind ourselves, oh, we hedge our bets a little bit here, a little bit there, maybe this is right, maybe that's right. You know what? I'll dip my feet in the water over here. I'll go to Oman, it can't hurt. But I'm not really so connected. Yeah, maybe it's not right. Maybe it's just mumbo jumbo. Maybe they just made that. I don't really know, so I'm not really so connected. Which is chaval, because the connection with a true tzaddik is ultimately, Rabbeinu explains, what's going to fix us. Why? Why can't I fix myself without connection to a true tzaddik? Why can't I just learn Torah? Right? What's it got to do? It's very nice to be connected to holy people. It's beautiful. But what's it got to do with fixing my neshama? So there's several explanations one can give, but I'll just give one explanation. One explanation is like this. When a person increases his avodat Hashem, when he starts to get closer to Hashem, then It becomes harder and harder. When we're starting off, it's enough for me to keep kosher, to keep Shabbos, try and learn a little bit of Torah here and there. Top. It's all very good. I have what to do, and how I should go about it is also not so difficult. I know I need to keep Shabbos, I keep at the basics. It's quite easy to look in a book, find out how to keep Shabbos. It's quite easy to look in a book, find out how to keep kosher at the level I'm keeping it right now, at a low level. But when I'm getting higher, and I've already got that covered, and I want to move up, so now it's getting very difficult. Because now I need to know exactly what my Avodat Hashem is. Should I work, should I not work? Should I learn Chumash Rashi, or should I learn Kabbalah? Right? My questions start getting more than, I can't find that in an art school book. No one's going to answer that. But you need to go to someone who knows, on a practical level. I need to be closer to a Rav with greater wisdom that can answer those hashkafic questions and the deeper questions of my neshama. Now I've dealt with the basics of how do I make Kiddush. Right? So I actually need to have a connection to someone who... That's on the external level. On the internal level, there are places I can't get to, or too difficult for me to get to, without the help of a tzaddik. Why? Because Hashem is Esh. Torah is fire. Hashem is fire. Tzaddikim are fire. I can't get near them without getting burned. It becomes harder and harder for me to fulfill my requirements the stronger I get in my Avodat Hashem. It used to be easy for me to wake up in the morning and go to Netz, and now I'm really struggling. It used to be easy for me to have Shalom Bayit, everything was great, and now it's gone crazy. Even though why? It should be easier. Now I'm learning more, now I'm davening more, and it seems to be getting harder. So truth is, it is getting harder. So I'm now getting closer and closer to the source. It's much harder. And there are places, and there's growth that I can't get to without the help of the tzaddikim. Without the help of the tzaddik. What's the inyan here? So the inyan here that Rabbeinu talks about is called Soda Ibor, the secret of the Ibor. Soda Ibor, in general terms, if you look in a standard Torah book, is talking about the calculation of the new moon. Tov, all these things have practical, and they have a deeper hidden level. The hidden level of Soda Ibor, as far as I understand it, which Soda Ibor means the secret of pregnancy, literally. What's the pregnancy? Pregnancy is when a woman has inside her another neshama. Right? And the secret, how can she have two neshamas in one body? So you can have two neshamas in one body when a woman is pregnant. Right? At least two. So the Soda Ibor regarding tzaddikim is the fact that when a person gets close to a tzaddik, the tzaddik does a pula, creates Soda Ibor. So the tzaddik comes inside a person. His neshama, part of his neshama, comes inside me through Soda Ibor. I get a little piece of the tzaddik inside me. Kabbalistically, how that works is tough. I know, go and find a Kabbalistic rabbi and he can tell you more. But part of his neshama lights inside me. I'm lit up with the power of the tzaddik. And that helps me move to the next level. Without that, I wouldn't get out of bed. I've now hit the next level up. And we know that as a person grows bigger, so his Yetzirah grows bigger. Becomes harder. Now I've got a bigger Yetzirah than I had yesterday, last year. Now it's a much harder fight. How do I beat that Yetzirah? How do I progress now? So we're only with the help of the tzaddik. The tzaddik is the one who's going to help me grow and help me get through those things that I need to get through. The person will find that in practice. The person who goes to Uman will see that he is, we spoke about many times, like Reuven mentioned before in the past, the person in Uman, he's not the same person. His neshama is on fire. Why? It's not me. It's the light of the tzaddik inside me. I am Soda Ibor. When I'm close to the tzaddik, my neshama gets lit up, and I now have the strength of the tzaddik. so to speak. Not full strength, obviously, I'm not going to be that much, but it lights me up. Right? I can do things I could never do. Stay up all night, learn lots, amazing in body to do it, amazing understanding, by being connected to the Tzaddik. So connecting to the Tzaddik, the more I connect, gives me that extra power, that extra light to get through. It's like that, similar. It's the same idea. We get enough. It's not a problem to get another soul, right? We get another soul on Shabbos, right? And we feel different on Shabbos. We feel stronger, more connected to Hashem. We can, right? So the same is true with getting close. So getting close to a Tzaddik helps me. What it helps me practically. It helps me if I want to stay up all night. Very nice. It helps me get up for Tikkun Hatzot. Helps me get up early for Nets. Very nice. How's that fixing my soul? It helps me do more mitzvahs. Helps me to learn more. So, how's it fixing my soul? So the truth is, it's fixing my soul in two ways. One is the fact that doing all these mitzvahs are helping fix my soul anyway, right? The mitzvahs come against the parts of the body, parts of the neshama to fix it. So the more mitzvahs I can do, and the stronger and more kavanah, then that helps fix my soul. But also on a different level, when a person starts to grow and to work on himself, work on his midot, his anger, his sadness, his depression. So then I have a whole new level of working that has nothing to do with Torah and mitzvahs. Right? We're working on a person's midot also needs the strength of the tzaddik. Right? If I want to learn Torah and I want to get up for Hatzot and I want to do get up for Netz, sorry, that also needs a bit of koach. But to work on myself, to work on my anger, to work on my sadness, my depression, my fear, to get through all of those huge personal, right? I can't do it without the light of the tzaddik. I'm on the floor, I'm out of it, I'm finished, I'm like, forget it. Right? I've given up. How many times I've got to get Ya'ush from trying to Tikkun Abrit, Tikkun Shmirat Yanayim, right? No chance. Ya'ush again, fell again, Ya'ush. I'm not going to fix that part of me, fix my anger, fix my kedusha, fix all of these without the light of the tzaddik, because I don't have the strength to do that myself. I've got the strength to guard my eyes, forget it, no chance. I don't have the strength to do that. Not for 5 minutes. If I have the light of the tzaddik burning inside of me, psh, I'm done, great. But without it, it's not going to happen. So that's why it's important. Very important, if we want to be fixed legamrei, to have that gift of soda ibor, of the light of the tzaddik inside me, to give me that koach that I don't have. I know I don't have it. I have to realize that. Stage one is to realize I don't know, I can't do this. Shem, I can't do this. I just can't. How can I do that? Tzaddik can do it for sure. How do I do that? So I need to get close to the true tzaddikim. And really the tzaddik. The tzaddik who's got the job to fix my soul. And there's a tzaddik in every generation who has that job and who can do it. But what's the Rabbeinu telling us? Rabbeinu telling us it's very hard to do that. Because the place is so messed up. Right? Because of the fighting between the Talmidei Chachamim. But that we don't know who the true tzaddikim are. And even when we think we know, we're still in doubt. And therefore we don't really put ourselves into that connection so much. Each of us more or less. But the more we can be connected, the more it's going to help. The more it's going to help us. It's an important etzah, an important piece of advice. So let's continue in how this fits in with what we were talking about. So what happens is, because of all this fighting between the tzaddikim, tzaddikim themselves don't fight at all. It's only between their students. Tzaddikim never fight one against the other. Tzaddikim are all the gedolim never argue one against the other. It's only their talmidim. But because of the talmidim fighting one another, then each one has something bad to say about the others. And they're talmidei chachamim, and they should know. So we believe these talmidei chachamim. And what does it mean? It ends up that that we don't believe in any of them. We don't believe in any of the Tzaddikim, because there's always someone fighting against them, saying, no, the Baal Shem Tov's not right, no, the Gaon of Vilna's not right, no, this one's not right. Well, look, everyone has got what to say about another Tzaddik. Because of that, it ends up that we don't really believe in any of them. What does it mean? It's not that it means that we don't have true belief in any of them. We don't have complete belief in any of them. Oh, this one, maybe he knew a little. Oh. There's always something to argue about or complain about. That this one said that, I can't really believe in him at 100%. His view on Eretz Yisrael doesn't go with mine. His view on, I know, take your pick, his view on Goyim doesn't go with mine. Whatever it is that I think. And therefore we don't believe in any of them. Completely. But the truth, it should be the opposite. Because actually the truth is we need to believe in all of them. We need to believe in all of the Tzaddikim. Not the way it is now when we don't believe in any of them, because everyone's got something bad to say about someone else. Adrab, on the contrary, our job is actually to believe in all of them. Because only... Oh, he says, sort of in brackets here, only those who base their wisdom on apikorsim, like Greek philosophy, and only like those crazy ones, those ones you have to keep a far distance from, right? But every other tzaddik that's kosher, and that acts according to the ways of our fathers. So him, so they should be completely kadosh in our eyes. We should believe in all of them, he says. So he says, now brings it back to the beginning that we talked about in the beginning. So this understanding is the aspect of what we said about someone who doesn't know when Shabbat is. Someone who's walking in the desert, like we said, doesn't know when Shabbat is. What is that? Hainu mishu tzaddik hamet shehu bechinat Shabbat. We said the true tzaddik was an aspect of Shabbat, right? Rabbi Shimon, they called him Shabbat. So someone who doesn't know when the Shabbat is, because he doesn't know who the Shabbat is, it's the drasha he's making here is that someone who's walking in the desert doesn't know who the true tzaddik is. What do I do? So the answer is, he should count each 6 days and then take the seventh. What's it? But we said that on each of the 6 days, he should also treat like it's Shabbat. It could be Shabbat this tomorrow. Could be Shabbat. This said it could be the true one. Don't know. I don't know which one's the true one. What am I going to do? I'm going to count every single one as if it's the true one. But one specifically, the one I think, I'm going to make him... For me, he's going to be the true Shabbat. That's my true Shabbat. I don't know, because I'm in a desert, and I don't know for sure. Could be this one, could be that one. Could be the Vilna Gaon's right. It could be the Baal Shem Tov's right. Could be the Satmar Rebbe's right. It could be, right? Who knows? As long as they're a holy kosher Jew, they're not offering some... Could be that they're the true Tzaddik. Therefore, just like when I don't know when it's Shabbat, I keep every single day on the safek that it's Shabbat. So too with every possible tzaddik, I hold him as a true tzaddik. I believe in them all. But the one, so I separate him out as the one I'm going to put my faith in as the true Shabbat, the true tzaddik. And my job, he writes, is to do that, to hold all the tzaddikim as holy and kadosh, but one is special, but to beg every day, that Hashem shows me who's the true tzaddik, because it's so important, so vital. Because when I find out who the true tzaddik is, then I bind myself to him. That's my elevator ride to the Shemayim. Right, that's what's going to take me from where I am to where I need to be. It's what's going to fix my soul. And we have a job to do, which is to ask. Our job is to ask Hashem. Just like for everything else, we need to ask. Anything that comes, Rabbi Nathan said, anything that comes not through prayer either doesn't last or is not good for me. Only if it comes via prayer is good for me. And there's no difference with the true tzaddik. Even Rabbi Natan, who threw everything away and said, this is the true tzaddik and I'm following you to the ends of the earth. And he says in his own writings that every day, Rabbeinu was alive, every day he prayed to Hashem to show him the true tzaddik. What do you mean, praying to Hashem? He's right in front of your face. You know he is. But no. A person needs to pray on everything. Even if he knows or he thinks he knows who the true tzaddik is. Right? From the start, he could be wrong. But if he comes through prayer, Hashem is going to help you. And everything that you pray for, Hashem is going to help. No, and for sure, I'm finding the true tzaddik, which is potentially the most important thing that I can do in my life, is to find the true tzaddik, to find the right path. I spent my life 120 years tied to the wrong horse. Who knows where I end up? So it's pretty important that Hashem, you show me that I'm on the right path. Is this the right yeshiva for me? Is this the right rabbi that I follow? It's really important. If I follow this rabbi and he leads me off down who knows what path, well, I'm going to be following him. If I didn't ask for help from Shemayim, who am I going to blame? So I need to ask Hashem to show me who the true tzaddik is and to bind me to that true tzaddik that I have faith in him and I trust him. Help me put my faith in him. Right? We need to put our faith in the true tzaddik. Right? We say every morning shacharit. Right? Like they said after the splitting of the Red Sea. Yeah, minu b'Hashem u'moshe avdo. Right? On both. Minu b'Hashem u'moshe avdo. It was enough to believe in Hashem. So then, and after the splitting of the sea, they believed in Hashem. Wonderful. Right? Believed in Hashem and Moshe. Who wants to believe in Moshe? Moshe's not meant to be doing anything. He's just meant to be the middleman. You don't need to believe in him. No, you do need to believe in him. Part of Emunat Chachamim. We do need it. We need Emunat Chachamim. Without Emunat Chachamim, we can't have Emunat Hashem. Because how are we going to learn about Hashem? How are we going to know what path is the right path? We're going to make it up ourselves? Without Emunat Chachamim, Rashi says it, that a person needs to follow his rabbi. The rabbi says left is right and right is left. Rashi HaKadosh says you need to believe it. Right? Something as simple as I know what right and left is. I don't need my rabbi for that. And Rashi says, no, you do need your rabbi. Even if you think you know what right is and what left is, you need your rabbi to tell you. And if he tells you the opposite of what you think it is, you need to go by him, not by what you think. That's how important it is to have a rabbi. That's what Rashi says. Rashi's not trying to lead us astray. Right? If the true advice was, make your own decisions, you're good enough, don't worry, for the really important things go to a Rav. So Rashi would have said that, but he didn't. He said, take the most simple and basic thing, right and left, and follow what your Rav says, even if it's the direct opposite to what you think. To that extent. But obviously we don't do that. So, but we should know what the path is meant to be. If I'm going to follow my Rabbi to that level, that he tells me right is left and left is right, if I'm going to follow him that much, I need to have faith in him. Where's that emunah going to come from? It's not going to come just because, you know what, let's follow this guy. He looks nice. He's got a nice hat. Dresses smartly. He's got a nice shiur. He gives a few good chizuk. It's not enough. I need to pray on it. I need to pray on it a lot. Rabbi Natan said about Rabbi Nachman, right? Rabbi Nachman, who he dropped everything for. Who he would crawl, he said he would crawl over knives to get to Uman. Nachman, he said all that. Right? About, he couldn't separate him from his Rebbe. He said to a Rebbe, tie me up in your sack. Put me in a sack and tie me up. Why do you need to do that? I'm with you. I'm there. You're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. We're together, right? Why did he need to beg the rabbi to put him in his sack and tie him up? Because there's a big Yetzirah in the way. He knows it's not so simple just to find the rabbi. Oh, I found him. We're going. Let's yalla. We're off. No. There's going to be obstacles. I'm not going to be able to stick close to the rabbi without prayer. Without prayer. I need the prayer to believe in my rabbi. And to follow him. Because that's going to be the way to tikkun my neshama. That's what's going to fix me. But it's going to be a hard path. Because sometimes he's going to tell me right is left and left is right. And I'm going to have to go with him. That's going to be very hard. Right? He's going to tell me stuff I don't want to hear. Right? He's going to tell me stuff that I really don't want to read. I'm still going to have to try and follow it. Right? It's not going to be so easy. But if I've prayed on it, I've asked Hashem to show me who the true tzaddik is, and to ask him that I have belief in thy tzaddikim and I follow their path and follow their wisdom, it's going to be much easier for me. Right? And that's what's going to bring me to fix my soul and my neshama. So I bless all of us, including me, Zvat Hashem especially, all of us, that we merit to find the true tzaddik, and that we merit to pray every day. Hashem shows us who the true tzaddikim are, and in particular who the true tzaddik is, and that we put into our heart that we should believe in them, that we should be close to them, we should bind ourselves to the true tzaddik. Right? The Breslovers say, Hareini mekasher atzmi l'chol ha-tzaddikim amitim shebadareinu. The kol ha-tzaddikim, to every single tzaddik, like we're learning today, the kol ha-tzaddikim, u'bifrat, but particularly, it's a nice chiddush for this, particularly one, right? I bind myself to every single tzaddik. Why not? What's wrong with that? I want to be bound, but who doesn't want to be bound to a tzaddik? Rav spoke to a rav once, who was teaching, started teaching Likutei Moran. He said, I'm teaching it because my students wanted me to teach it. I'm not so into Rabbi Nachman, but I teach Likutei Moran. He said, but I don't do that hit kashrut thing. I don't understand the hit kashrut thing. You bind yourself to the tzaddikim. I said, what's your problem? You don't want to be bound to tzaddikim? Why aren't we being bound to tzaddikim? No, actually, I don't want to be bound by. I'm okay by myself. I don't need the tzaddikim thing. Who am I kidding? Who's speaking here? The Yetzer Hara? I don't want to be bound to tzaddikim. Of course, I want to be bound to tzaddikim. When he said we need to be bound to the tzaddikim, and it was Befrat, and in particular Rabbi Nachman, because that's the one I'm placing my trust in as a true tzaddik. Okay, so miss that bit out if you're not sure who the true tzaddik is. But at least bind yourself to the true tzaddikim. Nothing wrong with that. Surely no one can argue with that. To be bound to the tzaddikim, oh, wonderful. Yofi, we should all merit to be bound to the true tzaddikim always, and their light should shine in our neshama and help us in our avodat Hashem always. Amen. Amen.